Sure. But let's look ahead 25 or 30 years. You know that the state is going to change in a lot of ways. First of all, the population is going to grow dramatically. Second thing is the composition of the population is going to change dramatically. We're going to be a majority Hispanic population. Does the current way that we structure financing of state programs and state agencies and state government work looking out 25 or 30 years? Do you think that based on how we're doing things now, we're going to be okay then without changes?
No, because we've changed always. Right. I mean, the idea that Texas has been a static state, it never has been. I mean, you go back in the 60s and they added this, sales tax, I think, in 61. And, I mean, we changed our tax structure in 2006. I believe that if you will give Texans freedom, freedom from taxation, freedom from regulation, freedom from over-litigation, give them accountable public schools that would develop a skilled workforce, a young person that's either career or college ready, our system will work better than anybody's in the country.
Do you look ahead 25 or 30 years and think we can do that? Do you think that the funding structure, the way that we finance things in Texas, is situated to the 25 or 30 year out view of Texas?
I think it's a competitive advantage to our state not to have a personal income tax. I think that's going to be our big selling point for relocating businesses here. That's an advantage. Disadvantages, and I'm not telling you I know all the solutions to this, but these are the things where you need to identify as an issue and bring people together to focus on the problem. The property tax system, real property tax system, is taxation based on estimate. And whenever you have taxation based on estimate, there's going to be inequities. Second, I mean, it's just a fact that there's, you know, many goods that are going to be sold and bought on the internet. And if you go down to a store, you pay the sales tax. If you get it over the internet, there's widespread noncompliance. If more and more sales take place over the internet, then you're going to see a disparity, an unfair playing field between online sales and those who are at stores.
According to the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy, Texas has dropped to 32nd place among the states in the area of energy efficient policies. Isn't it cheaper for Texans if we improve building codes, offer insulation incentives, and upgrade lighting than build new coal plants?
What about natural gas plants and what about windmills? I'm just asking.
I'm just reading what the question says.
Right. Okay. Well, I'm bringing up the obvious bias in the questioner's question that all he wants to talk about is coal plants. When the fact of the matter is, we are leading the world in the production of build out. There's only four other countries that have more wind energy than what we have. We need to have a very diverse portfolio of energy, and I don't have a problem with energy efficiency programs. But the fact is, energy efficiency is not going to make us energy independent. What is going to make us energy independent is having the sources of domestic energy, whether it's the Eagle Ford play in South Texas or the Haynesville or the Barnett Shale, or getting back to offshore drilling of Texas, building out our wind, our nuclear, and clean burning coal. All of those are sources.
Wouldn't it be cheaper for Texans if we improved building codes, offered insulation incentives, upgraded lighting, etc., rather than built new coal plants?
Yes.
You like that question?
Yeah.
Yeah. So where in the area of energy efficiency can we have the most impact right away if you're elected governor?
In buildings and vehicles. We ought to have the authority, unincorporated areas ought to have the authority to have energy codes. Mm-hmm. I would encourage local governments to adopt aggressive energy codes like were adopted with bipartisan support and the support of our Chamber of Commerce in Houston. If we're able to do that statewide, we would make this state a lot more attractive to business. We would have cleaner air and we would have lower demand for electricity, meaning lower utility bills. We need to do that in this state. We need to have fast tracking of permitting for green facilities. We need to have all state buildings built to LEED certification, and that could be increased jobs.
Let me ask you about an attack ad that you had up on Mayor White this week, mm-hmm. in which you had the endorsement of a number of Houston police officers, his former employees, who were unhappy with the fact that they were working in what they described as a sanctuary city, right? I've looked at, and others have looked at, the policies of the Department of Public Safety, which is a state agency under your authority, and with regard to this issue, the Department of Public Safety's policies are materially no different than the policies of the city of Houston. So why is Texas not a sanctuary state if Houston is a sanctuary city?
I consider those police officers having a very good handle on the directives that were given to them from their chief of police, working in conjunction with the mayor, that it was a sanctuary city.
But the policies of the Department of Public Safety, I'll quote you the language. Department of Public Safety will not engage in enforcement of federal immigration statutes. That is from the Department of Public Safety's own charge. Why is that different from Houston?
I think that the Houston statute is different.
You just think it's, but it basically says the same thing, that they don't enforce federal immigration statutes.
I think the Houston law is different than what you're looking
at. You're asserting that it's, so
right.
Does that not sound like a sanctuary city agency sort of deal to you? Will not engage in enforcement of federal immigration statutes?
Evan, here's what I think.
Yeah.
If anybody, you included, try to paint Texas as a sanctuary state, that they're walking off onto some pretty thin ice.
Well, I'm not trying to paint it as that. I'm just trying to understand the difference between the two.
Yes, sir. I'm just making a statement, though.
Right, okay.
And the statement is that nobody, no state, has had a more engaged effort to secure the border in this country than Texas has. Jocelyn Johnson, whose husband was killed by an illegal, sure thinks Houston had a sanctuary city law in place, and that thinks that Houston is a sanctuary city.
Let me ask you about an ad that the Perry campaign put up earlier this week against you, sir, featuring police officers from the Houston Police Department who endorsed Governor Perry and claimed that their problem with you was that you ran a sanctuary city. These are your former employees.
Mm-hmm.
Would you speak to that, please?
We weren't a sanctuary city. You don't have sanctuary cities, by and large, in the state of Texas. That's a myth, complete myth and fabrication. We arrest people every day. HPD arrests people every week who are non-citizens who commit crime. Mm-hmm. The Department of Public Safety, under Rick Perry, for the last 9.5 years, has had standing orders that it would not do routine civil immigration work, would not inquire about immigration status for people unless they arrested people for crimes. That's the same policy as the other cities in the state of Texas. The state of Texas is not a sanctuary state. If you look at the number of people that were arrested and turned over to ICE, arrested and turned over to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, then our area of Southeast Texas and HPD would be one of the national leaders in that.